This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
You're listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 248 for the week ending Saturday, 22nd of November, 2014. Good morning from Roswell, Georgia. I'm your captain, Captain Jeff. And joining me today from the posh eastern suburbs of Conyers, Georgia, Maria Johnson.
Posh. I'm feeling more like Spice.
Okay. And from the plains of Oklahoma, Steve
Good
Nelson.
Good morning, everybody. It's a rainy day here. We got downpour.
Oh, the weather. Always something to talk about there.
Yeah. Well, it means I don't have to do the yard work I was planning to do.
Oh, that's good. And from Buckhead in the heart of Atlanta, Sarah Fabulous, the Catholic Drinkie.
Are you sure I'm in Buckhead? I'm having a hard time knowing where I am.
Really? Why?
Disorientation, jet lag.
And from the western states in Montana, Malta to be exact, Father Corey. In Montana, where they come from miles around. All right. There we go. Oh, lovely. I love all these songs that we play at the beginning. So, welcome everyone to this week's episode of Catholic Weekend. And I missed everybody last week. I did a little quick trip to pick up some kitty cats in San Antonio, Texas. Missed the show. So, but I'm back and I'm happy to be here with my friends.
Boy, and let me tell you how happy we are that you're back.
So Steve is going like, what? What are
Can
you talking
explain
about?
Explain your comment about the cats.
Yeah. Well, okay. You really want me to explain it? We've had Persian cats ever since shortly after we were married. Linda and I gave her a gift for her birthday in 1984, when I was in the Air Force out in California, and we started with two Black Persians, and then they lived a good number of years, and then they passed away, and then we ended up getting two more from the same cattery, flew all the way out to Northern California to get those, and they lived for a good long 16, 17 years, and then the last one, as you know, passed away earlier this year, and so I thought, okay, well, that's it, and I was wrong. Linda told me about a week and a half ago that...
So these were new pets.
Yeah, new pets. And
yeah, I thought maybe that was a new service of Acme Airlines. No.
So listen, I'm still hung up on cattery. English is not my first language.
Well, is that... I think that's the right term. Breeder, I guess. Education.
You know what popped in my mind was Kateri Tekakwitha.
I probably am not using the right terminology, so I apologize.
I'm so shocked. I'm so glad it's not me.
Out here in the Wild West, Kateri might have a whole nother connotation.
With the red lights.
Sadly,
and all.
That's where I went.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I was visiting a Kateri last weekend. Yeah. Wink, wink. So anyway, here I am.
All right.
It's enough of that. Enough of that. Well, let's start this trend.
Hold on. Wait, we have to say one more comment. Those cats, that picture that you put up on Facebook was not just precious. It reminded me of that cat that's always angry. You know the one I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
Angry cat. Oh, it's angry cat.
Yeah, that one.
Or grumpy cat. Grumpy cat.
Yeah, he Leo, we're calling him. It does look like a grumpy cat, but he's a cool cat. All right, we have some activity in the chat room. Hello, everybody, and welcome. So let's talk to Sarah, because she just got back from a big adventure, and she kind of alluded to that in her intro about being a little groggy and not sure where she was. So what's up with that?
So I just got back from Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. Yeah, that's right. Yes, mm-hmm. The UAE. so I just got back Yesterday.
I need some more coffee.
So I really thrown because the time change over there is 9 hours. And so it was really interesting to talk to people back home and try to figure out and do the math of when I say yesterday or tomorrow, does that the same for you? So like for me, I'd be talking to people in the morning, but they have not yet gone to bed. So when I'd be like, yeah, I'm coming home tomorrow, they're like, oh, like Thursday? And I'm like, no, like Friday, because it's already Thursday here. So yeah, and then I woke up from a nap yesterday afternoon and legit for about 30 seconds had no idea where I was. I was like, I forget where I am. just because of the flight alone, it was ended up being about 17-hour flight on the way home. And so, you know, you don't get good rest on an airplane because someone's already always waking you up to get up, or your movie ends and you wake up, or hey, it's time to eat again, or whatever. Or the captain says like, oh, we've got turbulence. I'm like, you should be a better captain.
Yeah, we control turbulence.
That was for you, Jeff.
Thank you.
But it was so awesome. You know, I was a little worried as an American going to the Middle East with everything that's been going on really over the last several months. But never in Dubai did I feel anything other than being completely safe and respected just as a human. Dubai was so much of an international city. You know, it really, going into customs just after getting off the plane and standing around people who were from all over the world was probably like one of the most humbling experiences of my life. I'm looking at people's passports, and there were people from Vietnam, there were people from Malaysia, there were people from Japan, there were people from India and Pakistan, and then there's, you know, some Americans, and then people from all over Europe. And, you know, just it really, it's a nice reminder that Americans are not it in this world, right? Like, there are so many, right? But, you know, the way that our culture works is that we often forget about everybody else.
Mm-hmm. We're kind of arrogant sometimes, I think.
Yes, exactly. And so it was just a really nice moment to look around. And in my line and in my, like, little group of what I was standing in, I was one of the only Americans. And, you know, for me, it was a really nice moment to think, like, you know what? We really do live in a global mm-hmm. community and not just in our English-speaking world. So, you know, it was really nice. And then stayed at a super hotel. So thanks to my company for putting me up in this gorgeous 5-star hotel. It was amazing. But the exchange rate over there is so awesome. For every dollar that we spend, it's 3.6, 3.7 dirham. So things over there are really cheap. If you can just, you know, pay for the flight there, which my flight was about $1,400. Once you're there, things are really inexpensive. So,
well, there's a nice trade-off.
You know, but it is such a lush city. You know, my hotel was connected to one of the malls there, the Emirates Mall. And I went through a walk through the mall. I had one free day, and I didn't want to stay in my room sleeping. So I went for a walk through the mall, and I kind of felt like I was a little bit in the United States because everything in there was a U.S. store, and they had like Cheesecake Factory and all of these U.S. restaurant chains. So I was like, where am I? Yeah. So they really love the United States there. You know, everyone speaks awesome English, which made the trip so easy. When I went to Sao Paulo, it was really a challenge. Not a lot of people speak English. And so when I try to order food, it is very challenging here. Everyone speaks English, and such perfect English too. Not, you know, they have to think too much, but they really speak English. So I was really impressed with all that, and saw the indoor ski slope. I didn't end up going skiing, but I stayed right next to the indoor ski slope, which it looked like a winter wonderland in there. It was absolutely insane.
What was the outside temperature there?
The highs were about 75 degrees. It was so nice. Lovely.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was awesome. Just really, and you know, not too humid, though it got humid on Thursday. It was really humid, but the rest of the time, really, really nice weather. We sat outside for every meal, and you know, my colleagues had some shisha because they don't really drink in Dubai. If you want to have a drink, you have to get it from the hotel. But at every restaurant they do shisha, which is another word for hookah. So everyone basically sits out there. So instead of drinking, they sit out and smoke hookah for hours on end. I'm like, well.
Does that give you like a buzz or something? I've never done that.
Well, I mean, it's tobacco, but it's flavored tobacco. So yeah, in the same way that tobacco gives you a buzz, this just for long term, yeah, it'll give you a nice little like tobacco buzz. I did not have any shisha because I didn't want to deal with that tobacco buzz.
That sounds like a bunch of shisha to me.
Also, I'm not so into the lung cancer, so. Yeah.
Hey, Sarah, was there an Apple store there in that mall?
There was not an Apple store. So they're opening an Apple store really soon in Dubai, but they have third-party stores that sell Apple products. And so one day we took the train back from the office to the mall and to our hotel, which we had to walk through the mall to get back to the hotel. And all of a sudden, there's this guy pushing a shopping cart full of iPhones. It's probably like 300 iPhone 6s. And I was like, and my phone was in my pocket, so I couldn't get a picture because it was just like, it all happened so fast. But I stuck my hand in the cart and I was like, hey, can I have one of these? And the guy just, he laughed and he's like, well, you can come see me at the store. And I was like, oh, never mind. But like, we were doing the math as far as like how many we thought in there. We think it was about 300 or more iPhones in a shopping cart, like a grocery shopping cart.
That's hilarious.
I mean, nice. I'm like, if that isn't Dubai, then I don't know what is. Because they also have ATMs that spit out solid gold if you want. Like you can put money in and they'll spit what? Gold back out at you.
Curious.
Yeah, so that was a thing. But they have them in New York now and in Germany and I think in Los Angeles. So I looked it up. So it started in Dubai, but they have them all over the world now. But I thought that was kind of funny. And then I also went on – apparently you – do not go to Dubai unless you do what they call a safari. So it's not like wild animal African safari. It's Dubai safari. And so you go out and you go dune bashing in a truck. And so it felt a lot like driving in the snow and doing donuts and having fun in that way. So they have to let the air out of the tires of the truck so that you don't bounce too much on the desert. But that it was so much fun. We did that for about 45 minutes. So the next day, my neck really hurt. that was awesome. And then we went and did like a Bedouin style dinner where we had a barbecue buffet. Like barbecue there is like kebab and, you know, rice and traditional Middle Eastern food. And we had belly dancing and you could get henna if you wanted. And I got to ride a camel. Well, the camel actually let me ride it. So
I love camels, that you put it that way.
Camels are really tall, by the way. They're really tall. And so when they have to bend down to like let you get on it, that's fine. Also like really challenging. Just they're really beastly animals. So trying to get on it to begin with. And then when they stand up, it felt like being in a rodeo where you're kind of like, so you have to hold on like really tight because otherwise you'll get thrown. And I definitely almost fell off.
Hey, and y'all, those of you who are listening to this description and not watching the videos, Sarah's accompanying actions and descriptions are hilarious.
And so then, you know, they like walk us around for a few minutes on the camel and then they're like, okay, your turn to get off. And I'm like, that's fine. I've had fun on the camel. And so as the camel's trying to get down, the guy who's leading us is all like, okay, you're going to want to lean back. And I'm like, crap. And so then the camel, like, and they're aggressive, like very aggressive movements. There's nothing smooth about getting on and off a camel. When the camel stands up, it is like, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever seen Legally Blonde, but like the bend and snap, it's like that. So
would you show us?
Hold on for your dear life because you are about to get like tossed. So as he's coming down to let us get off, the camel's like, whoop! It's like getting dropped. It's getting dropped. Oh, tower of terror. So literally, I stood there for about half an hour watching people get on and off the camels because that alone was worth its weight in gold.
Oh my god, that's the craziest comparison I've ever heard. That's awesome.
I just made that up right now. I did not actually tell that earlier. I just made that up on the fly. But
let's do the bend and snap. That's got to be better than the time warp, right?
but yeah, you know, I really loved Dubai, and there was so much I wish I could have done. I didn't get to go to the beach, though we flew over. The beach is shaped like palm trees. Saw the tallest building in the world, and saw the tallest and biggest everything in the world, and it was just really cool. If you get a chance to go, definitely recommend.
Well, as we practice our, what is it, bend and snap? During the break here, we have our first break, and I can't wait to talk more about camels and tall things and henna and shisha. So, okay, well, need to tell you that today's episode is sponsored by Brian Mozizek. Hope I'm pronouncing your name right, Brian. And he wants us to promote a project, Project Blue November. And Project Blue November is a website that you can head over to, projectbluenovember.com. Let me make sure I'm doing that right. Heading over here. There we go. And this was organized by some mothers who wanted to promote type 1, what used to be called juvenile diabetes, and now they're calling it type 1 diabetes. And a lot of information there about how you can support the fight against or the cure for type 1 diabetes. And again, that's Project Blue November. And it says here, one day in late August, a group of D moms, I guess diabetes moms, from around the country came together in cyberspace to figure out a way to raise awareness for type 1 diabetes. And Project Blue November was born. And their mission is to provide a curated collection of ideas and inspiration for people who want to raise awareness of type 1 diabetes. We realize that each of us knew, this is them speaking, about some event or activity already in place to promote type 1 diabetes, but there was no single place for people to find out that information. And in the true spirit of mothers everywhere, I can't say that I understand that, but we decided, or they decided, that they just better do it themselves. And so it's a nonprofit, all-volunteer nonprofit organization. Again, the site is projectbluenovember.com. And we invite you to head over there and check it out and support them and the fight against type 1 diabetes. All right. And should also mention that SQPN is still in the midst of its end-of-year giving campaign, and so if you'd like to help us out, raise some money, and keep us going for the time being, please head over to sqpn.com/donate, and we're trying to raise, let's see, what is it, Maria, about
$18,000?
$18,000. Yeah, and so far I think we're about 30-something percent of the way. I need to head over here to our site, sqpn.com, and you can look at the little piggy there, and oh yeah, it says 30%, and we've received so far $4,365 worth of pledges, and so we're on our way, and so we ask you to prayerfully consider giving us some of your hard-earned money to keep us going. Thank you. All right, we are back. I know, the music stopped long before I stopped talking. And yeah, I am cuckoo. Thank you for that comment, Maria. Cuckoo clock in the background. You mentioned something about you could get henna. Is henna like a way of tattooing, but it's not permanent? Is that what that is?
Right, yeah. So it's an ink that they use a lot in the Middle East, in India. And so it's for women. and so traditionally they get it all up their arms, their hands and their arms, especially for when women get married, very prominent for that. But I think it lasts a couple of weeks. I didn't do that because I was there for business, and I did the safari adventure on Monday, and I thought, best not do anything that will be showing for the rest of the week while I'm leading a training session for professional people. But yeah, I think it lasts like between 4 or 6 weeks, the ink does. So, but yeah, it's beautiful. And yeah, so that's henna.
Is it harmful in any way?
I think it's made of all natural ingredients. So like I don't know, like berries and stuff. I don't know. I just made that up.
Blueberries.
You could probably be allergic to it, I suppose. You know.
I'm sure that you could actually be allergic to it. You know, but it's a natural thing. It's made from a henna tree. I'm doing a quick Google. It's a flowering plant. Yeah.
Oh, flowering pants. I have some of those.
It is a flowering plant. And so they take this plant and turn it into tattoo ink. Mm. They also use it to dye hair and fingernails and fabric. Huh.
In fact, that's what we use to dye our blue colored SQPN logo.
Sure.
Just kidding.
You believe that?
I think henna's red, isn't it? Is it henna red?
No, henna's blue, I thought.
Is it blue?
Oh, maybe it is red. Is it red?
Yeah, it looks like it's red or it's dark colored. I think you can make it different colors, but when it shows up on like skin, it looks brown, red, and as it fades, it turns more yellow. So it kind of changes as it fades.
Well, it was our earlier edition of our logo that nobody really got to see.
the henna version.
The henna version.
You're an idiot. But the food there is awesome. The whole time I kept thinking, I hope that Jeff Young's recipes in his book are just like what I'm eating here. So I can't wait. I have Jeff's book on order from Amazon. So now I'm super anxious for that book to show up because I want to make all this Middle Eastern food because the food was so good, you guys.
Do you mean you're super eager, not super anxious?
Both.
Okay. Well, you shouldn't have any anxiety over it.
Since when are you a grammar Nazi?
You wouldn't believe how many pet peeves I have about grammar. Just listen to my show.
Want to make sure that you're cooking and brewing appropriate combinations so that I can come over.
Okay. So real talk, you guys. So no one really drinks alcohol there, as I mentioned before. So when I was out to dinner one night, we got like a bunch of appetizers, and as we're eating the whole meal, drinking water, I kept thinking, if only I had my lemon mint pale ale. Like, because I designed this recipe to go into Jeff Young's book, and you know, I had a nice conference call with Jeff to talk about some flavors that I could pull out and make a beer, but I didn't really think too hard about like going and testing food and thinking in my head, oh, is this going to work? But having tasted my beer, knowing what it tastes like while eating the food, I kept thinking, it's so perfect. So seriously, I'm like so excited that my experiment worked out. So now I really want to make some Middle Eastern cuisine and have it with one of my lemon mint pale ales because I think it's going to be absolutely insane. So Maria, you could come over. I'm going to make labneh, which is like a mint yogurt dip to go with, I'm probably do like chicken kebab, and I'll make fresh pita and rice and all this. So you'll have to come over.
Life is good.
Hey, I live in town too.
And hummus. Oh yeah, you can come too, Jeff. No worries. Come on.
Don't you love it when you have to invite yourself?
That was the saddest little thing. Hey, I live in town too.
But oh my gosh, the food there. It was I was really sad to leave, if only because the food was so good. Everything's just so fresh tasting, and you know, I'm sorry, but this was the best food I've ever had on a trip.
Wow.
So, now
apologies to Italy. That's
really
in the Holy Land where they put out a spread where they just, you know, you have all these appetizers and they have a spread of them and you just start going at it.
Yeah, so, you know, we did that. Our last night there, we ate in the hotel just because someone was leaving super early in the morning. But let me tell you, the hotel food was nuts. So the last night we went to a buffet that had every single, like, classic Middle Eastern piece of food you could ever want. And, like, I could have just eaten the appetizer.
Uh-oh.
We don't hear you anymore. You bumped something, sir.
She's not hearing us either, apparently. Is she still talking?
I'm going to wave it. Everybody wave at her. She's going, why are they all waving at me? We don't hear you, Sarah. She's giving us a double thumbs down. Okay.
That's the Sarah I like.
Okay, there it is.
Hey, you bumped something.
I don't know what happened. I didn't touch anything, actually.
Well, you were doing your hand motions, and then I could tell you hit something, and then it just disappeared.
Well, no, I heard the bump, but actually didn't hit anything. So that was the weird part. But okay. So we did this buffet, and it was insane. So we just ate. I really could have just eaten the huge, massive plate of hummus and like the yogurt dip and all this other stuff and been a happy camper. But I ventured off, tried the other things. But oh my gosh, the food was so good, you guys. And I had room service on Monday morning. I always splurge and do room service one day when I travel. And so you guys should go look at my Twitter picture of the room service. It was food for one, but really it was like food for three.
Did you eat everything?
Oh, heck no. I probably only ate like a third of it because it was so much food.
Tell me you sampled it all.
Oh, of course. I tried everything. But oh my gosh. They brought like 20 pieces of pita bread. If I was going to eat 20 pieces of pita bread, that'd be a sad situation.
Well, you most likely hear the music coming up in the background again. And of course, this is the appropriately named Sleaze Factor by the U.S. Air Force Airmen of Note. Not sure exactly why they call it that, but it fits for this show, that's for sure. So as I mentioned, again, today's episode is proudly sponsored by Brian Mozesik and Project Blue November. Let's talk a little bit more about diabetes, stuff that I didn't know. There are two types of diabetes, type 1, that's why they call it type 1 and type 2. And they are promoting awareness of the type 1 version. The two diseases are very different, but misperceptions abound about each. And type 1 can occur at any age, but it is most commonly diagnosed from infancy to the late 30s. If a person is diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, their pancreas produces little to no insulin, and the body's immune system destroys the insulin-producing cells in the pancreas. Those diagnosed with type 1 diabetes must inject insulin several times every day or continually infuse insulin through a pump, as well as manage their diet and exercise habits. So I think that sounds to me, a layperson, like the most serious type of diabetes. The other type, type 2, typically develops after age 40, so I think that would cover most of us on this panel. I know it definitely will cover me, but it has recently begun to appear with more frequency in children. If a person is diagnosed with type 2, their pancreas still produces insulin, but the body does not produce enough or is not able to use it effectively. Those diagnosed with type 2 manage their disease through a combination of treatments, including diet control, exercise, self-monitoring of blood glucose, and in some cases, oral drugs or insulin. So there you go. A little information about diabetes if you want to find out more. Yeah, so you can support awareness of type 1 diabetes. Head over to Project Blue November, projectbluenovember.com. We thank Brian Mozesik for helping us out in our giving campaign by sponsoring our show today. Thank you, Brian. And earlier we talked about the fact that we were in the midst of our giving campaign here, and we're about the 30% mark. And but we still need more. Now, we do appreciate everybody's continuous support over the years. I know many of the people watching the show live right now are people who have given their hard-earned money to the StarQuest Production Network for quite some time, and we do really, really appreciate that. And what we're looking for now is either an increase in the amount donated, or better yet, let's find some new folks out there who have been listening to our great content on SQPN but have not yet contributed any money. And we now is the time for you to dig into your pockets and perhaps head over to sqpn.com/donate and clicking on one of the buttons there for a monthly recurring donation. It could be as little as, I don't know, what's the lowest amount, Maria? Do we have a, maybe a $5. Buck or $5, something like that? I think any amount you can give, but a good starting point would be $5 a month. I mean, you know, what's a good grande cinnamon dolce latte cost these days at Starbucks? You know?
About $5, Jeff.
About $5.
There you go. So, yeah.
I don't promote giving up coffee. However, it's probably the same as a number one meal at McDonald's too.
Oh, okay, that's even better. Give up that number one,
and or give up a beer.
Oh,
let's don't get crazy.
Yeah. Eating SQPN is better than eating that number one meal at McDonald's.
Yes, it is.
You know,
may not stick around as long, but yeah.
Hey, you know what? Now, no matter how hard we try, we're all going to have to leave this mortal life of ours and enter into our eternal, and hopefully it's the right one. But anyway.
Where are you going with that?
I don't know.
I think this is what happens when you have the number one meal.
Yeah, well, I think his thought process was that McDonald's hamburgers don't rot, but we do. So
well, I was thinking give SQPN or go to that warm place where you die.
Yeah. You aren't suggesting that SQPN is the path to salvation, were you?
No, I didn't mean to suggest anything. You know, honestly, I don't know where I was going with that. But thank goodness the music stopped and we're now starting our next segment.
Well, Mouser has got me all hungry for my trip here.
Yeah, tell us about your upcoming trip to the Holy Land.
Thank you. I thought that you were going to the drive-thru.
No. First of all, we don't have a McDonald's in Malta. The nearest McDonald's is 70 miles away.
What?
And I wouldn't travel 70 miles for a McDonald's.
Now, so. You know you're in a small town when you don't have a McDonald's. Or yeah. Do you have a Pizza Hut?
No. Oh. We've got a DQ, Dairy Queen.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
The Texas stop sign.
So anyways, I'm going to be making an international flight here on Wednesday. I'm going to go to the Holy Land, go to Israel as part of a pilgrimage, go as a spiritual advisor or spiritual director, however you want to call them. Basically, I get a free trip to the Holy Land as a priest.
Nice.
That's terrific.
They always want to have a priest with for celebrating masses and confessions, and if someone has some spiritual concerns or needs to talk or what have you. So I get to go, and it doesn't sound like I'm going to be working too hard, so that's a good thing.
What a rough life you got there, Father.
You know, seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Those spiritual concerns in exchange for Israel. Oh, golly.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a warm-up for Advent and Christmas that he's, you know, it's going to take up all his time.
Well, because he wants to go to the clear place, not the warm place, right?
Right. So is it all going to be in Israel, or are you going to what are some of the places you're going to visit?
Yeah, we're going to, of course, Jerusalem, Bethlehem, going up to Tiberias, which is on the Sea of Galilee, going up to Haifa, which is where Mount Carmel is located. A lot of the big places, you know. This will be my second trip to the Holy Land, so I've been to most of these places already. But we'll go to all the different places: Church of the Annunciation, the Church of the Nativity, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, of course. It's just so many places, so much beautiful scenery and good food. You know, very very similar food in the Holy Land to what you get in Dubai. So a lot of that kind of good stuff. Lots of just traveling, get to see the sights and pray at these spots and celebrate Mass. This will be a great one for me because I'll be able to go and celebrate Mass at some of these places, like probably the Church of the Annunciation, Church of the Nativity, and places like that.
Fantastic.
Have you been there before, Father?
I was. As a seminarian, as part of our studies, we went over for 3 months and lived there.
Wow.
Oh. I'm so envious. Yeah, that sounds terrific.
I've never been there myself. I look forward to visiting there sometime.
It is very much worth going. It really is. And I know it's – one complaint is it's kind of pricey to get over there. But, you know, as Sarah mentioned, half that cost is the airfare, it seems like, anymore. When it's at least $1,000 just to, you know, fly from the United States over there. But it is worth it. It really is. To go and walk where our Lord walked and see the spots where he was – you know, the was it the Church of the Beatitudes on this beautiful hill overlooking the Sea of Galilee, one of the most amazing places, and to know that that's likely where he stood as he gave the Sermon on the Mount. To go to the Mount Tabor, the Church of the Transfiguration, again, amazing place, beautiful, you know, this beautiful lush valley, and then right in the middle of it's this mountain, and to go up there and just spend time in prayer and you know, again, think that our Lord stood there with Moses and Elijah.
Hmm.
You know, that's stuff amazing. Like that. it's pretty incredible. It really is worth doing. And of course, being able to be there where our Lord was crucified and buried.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, I really want to do that. And I really want to go with people I can share it with, you know, not just an anonymous tour group. I really want to go with people, you know.
Well, today, I want to go on Jeff Young's trip eventually. I can't do it. Next trip, but that would be a really fun one to do. And Lino Ruli is taking a group of listeners with Catholic Traveler Mountain Butorac next year. Now they just announced, and Father Dave's going too. So one of those would be really fun. But
how about an SQPN pilgrimage, huh?
I would definitely do that. That would be so awesome. We could get Mountain too. Put it together.
We really should do that. We've been talking about doing something like that for years. And we really do need to flip the switch on that.
Did you guys read, I think it was Diana Von Glahn, remember when we had her on the show?
Faithful Traveler. Faithful Traveler.
She had a beautiful, beautiful piece on what it means to be on pilgrimage that I'll make sure we put in the show notes. It's really a fantastic reflection on what you were saying, Steve, that when you go on a pilgrimage, you have all of these experiences, and then, you know, you come back home with, I think she says, 8,000 photos that you share with everybody. And about 1,500 into the show, everybody's like, okay, we're done. And, but you remain connected to the people that you shared that experience with.
Yeah. You know, I used to take students on trips to Europe, and there was just something extra special about sitting in a church like St. Paul's Outside the Wall, and then knowing the people you're with where you can talk about their families, you can talk about, you know, their history and their future and things like that. And you can do that with 30 people, and it's not just the people, you know, a small group. But anyway, it's special to me, and I that's the way I would really like to do it if I could.
You know? Well, even if you just a site here in the States, it's always a wonderful thing to be able to take a pilgrimage, to be able to, you know, not just say I'm going to go as a tourist, which is easy to do, especially when you're going to some place like the Holy Land, where you can say, I'm going to go to this place, I'm going to see all these famous things, I'm going to eat all that good food and stay in these wonderful hotels. And I'm a tourist. But it's another thing to go there with the mindset of, I'm going to go to these holy sites and I'm going to go pray. Yes, we're going to stay in the nice hotels. Yes, we're going to have the good food. But I'm going to a place that is significant for our faith. And again, whether that's the Holy Land, whether that's Rome, whether that's a Marian site here in our country, you know, in the United States, in Canada, wherever, whoever's listening to, you know, going to a holy site in our own countries can be a powerful experience if you go with the mindset of, I'm not going to take 5,000 pictures and video and everything, which I'm going to do. I'm going to take some video. This is my second time, so I can get away with it a little bit more. No, you know, it's
8,000. 8,000 seems to be the magic number, Father.
8,000. Well, that's the one right there. No, but to take it and to say, I'm going to go and I'm going to do this as a way of offering myself in a small way to God, you know, and again, it's as simple as if there's a Marian shrine near your town, just taking an afternoon and driving out there. You know, a lot of times we have these churches, these shrines that are available to us, and we don't even go to them. Or if we do, it's because there's a special event. And just to say, you know, I'm just going to go to that shrine. I'm just going to go spend a couple hours in prayer and kind of walking the grounds. And it's a wonderful thing to do that as a pilgrimage. So, and it's something in our busy lives, I think we need to do a lot more of.
Yeah, I have a friend that I visit, and our visits tend to be pilgrimages. There's always some local place that we can go to that we can go pray together and or celebrate in a sacrament. I mean, I think I've been places where I've gone to confession or mass or adoration, and it really does change the. It changes the whole timber of everything to be able to do that, to make that transition you were talking about from tourist to pilgrim.
Right.
Being a
pilgrim doesn't mean you don't do the pictures and the video and everything. And in fact, if you do it right, that can actually improve your pilgrimage, because it can help you as you go forward to remember and to reconnect yourself to the pilgrimage.
We're kind of lucky here living in the Atlanta area. We're not too far from northern Alabama and the Shrine of the Blessed Sacrament. You know, blessed, not blessed. getting ahead of myself. What was the sister that started EWTN?
Angelica, Mother Angelica.
You know, she started that that whole apostolate and shrine over there, and they put on pilgrimages, and yeah, so it's a great opportunity for all of us that live in the Atlanta area to take a short drive over there and participate. But you know what? I was thinking when you were talking about pilgrimages, many parishes this time of year, right before Advent, or maybe even in the midst of Advent, have missions. And we just had one earlier this week. Unfortunately, I couldn't go to it because I was flying. But we had someone come in and lead a three-night mission at our church. And so that's another way to kind of get involved and get more spiritually planted.
Yes, absolutely. And this is, of course, you know, we are entering into Advent, and this is a good time to be thinking about that, to think about how can I recommit myself spiritually? How can I prepare myself for our Lord's birthday, the celebration of our Lord's birthday? And remembering that, no, it's not just a shopping day, our day we shop for, to buy gifts. It is the day of our Lord's birth.
But if you do shop for gifts, don't forget to go to sqpn.com and click on the Amazon link.
Stop the commercial. I'm so excited. Tonight I'm going to an event at our parish. It's called Advent by Candlelight, and it's put on by the women's group, and We've all got our, you know, different friends grab tables together, and we're each decorating a table according to a theme. My theme is angel, and I'm like, what, really? So I had to go dig up, some candelabra that I have that are some angels that are holding candles. Nice. And so we're all having like appetizers to share. So I'm going to make empanadas for tonight, but I'm looking forward to two guest speakers. And so it's just something that we do in our
fun
to think.
Sweet.
Not Christmas.
No.
I'm putting up my Christmas tree tomorrow.
You make me sad.
No. Even no. Even started.
Why?
Okay.
Because my parents got me a brand new Christmas tree. I'm really excited about it, and I just want to look at it. I'm not going to decorate it. I'm just going to put it up and like have it sit there. It'd be a nice little reminder of, oh, yeah, it's coming.
Lies. Lies.
I'll decorate it next weekend.
No. Lies. Oh, first of all, you're going to look at it and say it needs lights.
Well, it's pre-lit, so we're good.
Oh. Get some purple, the Charlie Brown Christmas.
Get some purple and pink streamer or something like that to put on it for Advent.
Yeah, make it an Advent tree.
There you go.
Okay, I'll do it. Just for you, Father, I'll figure out a way to Advent it up. Okay, no. All right.
We'll check on you next Saturday.
Yeah, you need to be... situated in front of your Advent tree next episode, next weekend.
I will do what I can.
And by that, she means she's going to blow us off.
Yeah, she's not going to be available. Some other party or something she's got to get ready for next week.
No, I am not traveling. I'm not going anywhere until New Year's now because I have to work on this book. So I'm not going anywhere till New Year's.
What book?
I'm going to see the boyfriend thing. So.
What book? What are you talking about, Sarah? Do you have a book or something that you're writing?
Yeah, I have a book or something. So, yeah.
Yeah. Or something. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Still talking about Christmas coming, it was depressing where I walked in the grocery store the other day, and yes, they already had the winter Christmas music going. It's just,
That was in August before Halloween. They had the.
I was in a van the other day up in Columbus or something like that, and they had the music on in the van, and they were playing Christmas music. I'm thinking, what? It's not even Thanksgiving yet.
Yeah, yesterday, the flight attendant. As we were getting off the flight, said, "Happy holidays." I was like, "Okay, great."
Well, I guess.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving to you too.
Thanksgiving.
But I saw no Christmas decorations in Dubai. So if you don't want Christmas music, go to Dubai. Go to Dubai.
Aren't they a Muslim nation? Or
yeah,
yeah. Okay, that might be why.
There are wreaths up in our old part of town. They've been up for 2 weeks.
Wow. What are you going to do?
Whatever. They filmed that vampire series there. I think it's kind of weird to have a wreath outside of a voodoo store. It's a set. It's not a real voodoo store. But...
Okay, I was going to say, wow.
I don't know. Well, they have a lot of people, immigrants from Cuba with the voodoo. Just Shut kidding. Up. That's not even something that Cubans do, right? It's a Jamaican thing, right?
No, Cubans do Santeria.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I've got some adventurous stories to tell you about that.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that.
No. I don't mess with that mess.
Don't share that with us online. All right. Our last break before the end of the show. Yay. And once again,
amen.
Amen. Say amen, brother. Okay. Sister.
No.
All right.
No.
We're Catholics. We don't do that.
Yeah. Okay. Again, the show sponsored by Brian Mozizek, Project Blue November. And again, one of the things that you can find there is Diabetes Daily, or at least a link to it. Everyone with diabetes deserves to live a healthy, happy, and hopeful life. The Diabetes Daily community is visited by millions each year seeking to learn how to manage their diabetes and stay motivated in order to live a better life. And speaking of living a better life, I mean, if you want to be guaranteed a spot in heaven, head over to sqpn.com.
Stop that.
Wow. Okay, so no, that's very heretical. You're putting us into the realm of
First of all, everybody knows that you can't really take me seriously about anything. So I'm just joking, of course, but just wanted to make you aware of a lot of great content over there on sqpn.com. Secrets of Once Upon a Time. Was Emma acting out of character? What's the deal with Mary, Margaret, and Regina? Plus, well, if you want to learn more, head over to The Secrets of Once Upon a Time on sqpn.com.
Do you even know what you were talking about?
No, I have no idea. I have no idea who Emma is and Mary, Margaret, and Regina. But if you want to see a cute little picture of a doggy, a little tiny doggy, again, you got to go to sqpn.com, and there you'll find information about Father's new rebranded show, The Walk. In this episode, puzzled dogs, morning rituals, music and mood control, and much more. So, again, lots of great shows, including Tech to the Future. The last episode, Wireless Keyboards and Android Lollipop, the new Android operating system. So if you're one of those Android folks, you can check out that episode, episode 3 of Tech to the Future. So lots of great stuff there at sqpn.com. And if you want to help us keep this thing going, please consider donating to us in our giving campaign. Thank you. Okay. It is our final spot or final segment, and of course we need to do this. The picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
Picks of the week. Okay, enough of that. Let's see, because Steve is giving us that really, really puzzled look, I'm going to pick you. You are going to give us your pick of the week, maybe, if you have one. Steve.
That's,
now he's going to pretend like he doesn't hear.
You know?
Hey, I have one.
I had one in mind when we started the show.
Okay, well then.
It completely slipped my mind.
Well, Sarah.
For the life of me, remember what it was.
Sarah's going to save you. Sarah, please.
So Father Daryl gave me mine just a few minutes ago. Thanks, Father Daryl. But it's a Reddit article, The Stories of the Bible in TLDR form. I don't know what TLDR means, but whatever.
Too long to read.
What'd you say?
Too long, didn't read.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, well, in that. So it's very funny. It's a Reddit article, and it goes something like, here's the book of Genesis. All right, you two, don't do the one thing. Other than that, have fun. Adam and Eve say, okay. Satan says, you should do the thing. Adam and Eve say, okay. God said, what happened? Adam and Eve said, we did the thing. God says, guys.
Guys. I told you not to.
Yeah. So anyways, and the ending's great. It says, wow, guys, thanks for the gold, the kind words, and the upvotes. Anyways, it's very funny, so I'll put that in the show notes, and that's my cheating pick of the week. You're welcome.
Cheating pick of the week.
And they say that I'm spouting heretical ideas, huh?
Yeah. Oh, listen, I posted that on Facebook this morning, so I'm kind of embarrassed now. Is it heresy? Do I need to take it off? I figure Sister Helena Burns posted it, so I figured I was good.
Uh-huh. On her Hell Burns. The best one. Her blog post so awesome. This week that had like Hell Burns, we need more nuns. That was probably the best subject for a blog post ever.
Her level of awesomeness is just epic. You know that she was listed, I think, last week on the top 10 tweeters that you need to follow if you're young. So I guess if you're old, we don't get her humor or something. I don't know.
I don't get this internet thing.
You don't get it?
Never her? Here for a Catholic women's meeting. Oh, it was pretty awesome. She's awesome. She's very awesome. And she loved coming out to middle of nowhere, Montana, because she's a city gal. She's always lived in cities. So
I bet you she's a hoot.
Is middle of nowhere, Montana, near Malta, Montana?
Yeah, it's right over the hill.
So that would be, never mind. So Maria, was that you didn't give us a pick?
No, I do have a pick though.
Okay.
So you guys know that John Clem, God bless him, always sends us a variety of selections that we may or may not pick from. But he does his sweet tweets and sends them to Lisa Hendy, who posts them on her blog over at Patheos. So my gosh, that's so convoluted. John Clem, Lisa Hendy, Patheos. Anyway. My pick of the week is actually a tweet that came from Pope Francis. He said, "There is so much noise in the world. May we learn to be silent in our hearts and before God." And that was his tweet from November 18th. And I love it. I love it, especially for Advent, because, you know, especially when I was a young mother, it seems like there was nothing. There was Thanksgiving and then there was Christmas and there was no time in between to just be quiet and think. And now one of the benefits of the empty nest is the silence. We're just not silent enough as I continue to go on and on and on. I'll shut up now.
And you keep your volume keeps going down lower too. Like you're getting silenter and more silent. Silenter?
Silenter and silenter.
I don't think
I'll shut up now.
Well, please don't. Okay. who wants to go next? Father Corey, how about you?
I'll go next. Okay. Of course, this is the last weekend of the liturgical year of ordinary time for another year. So this weekend is my pick of the week is Christ the King Sunday, which is this Sunday. Always go to Mass. I mean, you got to say that anyways for every Sunday, but especially for this one where we remember that Jesus is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and that he is the King of the universe, and he is worthy of our worship and praise.
Absolutely.
Amen. That makes it extraordinary, doesn't it?
Yep. It's extraordinarily ordinary or ordinarily extraordinary.
Now I'm confused.
I'm sorry. I should have stayed silent.
What? Okay.
Next.
Okay. Yeah. Who wants to go next? Steve? Or should I go?
I'm blank.
All right.
But I would like to say that, you know, following on with Father, am I on mute?
No, you're fine.
Oh, okay. I just like to look at, you know, Father Corey was talking about how we have the Feast of Christ the King, which is the end of the liturgical year. And I just, you know, I don't know if you ever looked at it. Have you ever looked at the way the liturgical year is set out in the church and how you begins with Advent with this expectation of this waiting, and then you end it with Christ the King. And so everything just leads from one to the other. It's really cool. I don't know if you've ever actually looked at it, laid it out and see how it all fits together. But it's really awesome the way it's organized.
Really is.
I guess that's a pick of the week.
It's almost like somebody, actually thought about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I think if you don't think about it, you know, if you don't see it laid out from end to end, then you kind of miss why it's laid out the way it is. It's really interesting.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it is. My pick of the week is, and don't get down on me, you know, don't do me like that. I'm going to give a Christmas, but it's like, because you need to get one of these things before Christmas season starts. I know, Advent's about to start. And they do have a selection on here. This is from the Christmas at Mary's Shrine, kind of tying in with pilgrimages and all that kind of stuff, in our nation's capital, performed by the choir of the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception. And every Christmas and Easter, they send out a CD if you support them. And it's definitely worth sending them a small donation, and then you'll be on their list, and they'll send you one of these nice CDs every, as I mentioned, every Christmas and every Easter season. And it's beautiful music, and they actually do have O Come, All You Faith. Oh, that's not Advent either, is it? That's Christmas. Oh, well, yeah, I was thinking Christmas. that maybe there was something on here that was Adventish. But not.
Oh, come, come, Emmanuel. That's like the only Advent song that I can ever remember.
Yeah.
It's all anybody knows.
But anyway, so it's a lot of great. I haven't even listened to it yet. I just saw it here on my desk. Must have come in the mail while I was on this past trip. But they're really, really high quality, beautiful music. And nationalshrine.com is where you can go. And you can figure out how to get on their list, give them a little bit of money, and listen to this awesome music. So. That is my pick of the week, the Christmas at Mary's Shrine 2014 edition. And music is coming up in the background, so that means it's time for us to end the show. Yay. Let's see. Who would like to go first with their plugola? How about Father Corey? You're on my left, so go ahead.
Well, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those type of places at Fr. Corey Sticha, last name spelled Sticha. My website where I post my homilies is frcorey.org. You'll find me on SQPN Secrets of Doctor Who when we come back in about a little under a month with another episode. And I'm also on The Sports Fathers with Father Daryl.
And sometimes on Tech to the Future.
And Tech to the Future as well, yes.
So you guys are coming back. Oh, why you're going to do the Christmas special or something?
Yep.
Ah, gotcha.
We're going to try to do monthly episodes during the hiatus, talk about different, you know, the Christmas episode, and then talk about some older classic Doctor Who episodes that are referenced in the newer episodes.
You know, and again, I listen to that show, and I don't even watch Doctor Who, but I like hearing people that are passionate about Doctor Who talk about it. So pretty good show. It's a great show. Maria's looking all grumpy. Maria.
No, I was just thinking about the woman that I sat behind in Mass yesterday. She was wearing this big, gigantic TARDIS hat with a white light.
Okay.
I'm like, take it off. I'm trying. It was just this all-encompassing phone booth on her head.
That's funny.
Very fashionable this time of year. So while you're thinking of that, maybe we can find out and read some of the things that you're thinking about by your blog, Another Cup of Coffee, bagojohnson.com, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. I'm just mostly posting pictures these days and maybe a poem or two. And follow me on Twitter, at Bago.
At Bago. Okay.
At Bago.
Excellent.
B-G-O.
How about if Catholic Drinky? Could we find some stuff there?
Yeah, sure. You can go back and I live tweeted my trip to Dubai. So you can go to Catholic Drinky on Twitter. Check that out. I'm also going to write a blog post about my trip this week. So just some nice reflections on the cultural differences and everything I learned. Also, I'm selling more koozies. So you can pre-order buy koozies at CatholicDrinky.com. Really good Christmas presents. Just saying.
Okay. Excellent. So, you can find all that over at CatholicDrinky.com. And Steve Nelson, do you have any koozies for sale?
I do not, no.
Okay.
No. And yeah, are you giving away beer with those koozies? Are you going to put a beer in each one of those?
We can talk about that offline.
So how can we find out more about you, Steve?
Everything is Stavon.com. Check it out.
Okay, excellent. And if you want to learn more about me and a little thing I do on the side, flying and talking about it, airlinepilotguy.com, and on Twitter and Facebook, Airline Pilot Guy. So that ends this week's episode. So everybody have a great week. By the way, happy Thanksgiving to everyone listening who lives in the United States of America. Hope you have a great time with your family and friends this week, and be safe. Until next time, take care and God bless.
SQPN, leading the way awesome. In Catholic new media.